Okay, so we are picking up from, we're at the bottom of Hamlet Bays, about 8 lines up. 2 lines before the wide lines, in the middle of the line, Reish Lakish. So just to give a little background where we were up to, we're dealing with the following problem. We know that the pasuk, there's an extra pasuk coming to say that you can't bring an animal which is a treifa, an animal which is sickly ill, you're not allowed to bring that as a carbon. That's what the pasuk is coming to teach. The Gemara is bothered, why do you need a pasuk? The Gemara feels you could figure it out even without a pasuk. Because since we know that an animal which has a blemish, I'm allowed to eat it, and I still can't bring it as a carbon, as an offering. So you see, there's a higher standard of what I can bring for an offering. So a treifa, an animal which is very sick, which I can't eat, then for sure I can't bring it as an offering. So because using kal v'chomer, I should be able to figure it out, why does the pasuk, why is there an extra verse coming to teach me the same thing I would be able to figure out without the verse? So basically, what the goal of the Gemara is going to be is to try to find a question why I can't really learn it from Baal Mum, and that would explain why the Torah went and wrote a pasuk. So again, Hey Amid Beis is about 8 or 9 lines up. Reish Lakish Amar Mishum De'ika L'Meimer Mefatim HaKtoris Yochiach. So we're looking for a case that even though it's prohibited for a person, it's allowed, it's more lenient in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? The Gemara was suggesting that anything which is prohibited for a person for sure is prohibited in the Beis HaMikdash. So to prove that wrong, we have to find the opposite combination. So Reish Lakish says, I'll prove it from the Mefatim HaKtoris. So the Mefatim HaKtoris is describing the person who does Pitam HaKtoris. Pitam HaKtoris, it's in the Siddur actually before Ms. Moshir, the whole series of different things they would bring together in the Beis HaMikdash. So that should be Yochiach, that should prove it wrong. Why? Because Osir Lehedyot Amotu LeGavoa. It's forbidden for a normal person to do it, and it's allowed in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara has just a technical question. Mefatim Gavruhu. Mefatim is describing the person that's doing it. That's the wrong way to refer to it. So Elopitim HaKtoris. He means that the combination of the spices that you bring, Yochiach. We have something which I at home, I'm not allowed to make this combination. And still in the Beis HaMikdash, it's allowed. So now we have a case that it's more lenient in the Beis HaMikdash. So again, that should answer that you wouldn't be able to prove that if a treif I can't eat at home, for sure not in the Beis HaMikdash, because we found a case where even though I can't do it at home, it's more lenient in the Beis HaMikdash. Where it says that's not a good question, because Ma Lapitam HaKtoris came in Tzvasa B'kach. Over there, the Torah says you have to do it that way. We're trying to look for a case where the Torah doesn't say you have to bring a treif as a karbon. I'm allowed to bring anything. How do you know you could also bring a treifa? So you can't prove it from a case where you have to do it that way. So Mar Breid, the Ravina Amar Mishum De'ikal Amemar Shabbos Tochiyach. Because you could say that Shabbos will prove it wrong. Because Shabbos, I at home, if I would want to shecht my animal on Shabbos, I wouldn't be allowed to do so. But at the same time, in the Beis HaMikdash, they bring karbanos on Shabbos. And a part of bringing a karbon is they would shecht, even on Shabbos. So you see there's a leniency in the Beis HaMikdash. Mar says, no, mal Shabbos kin hutra mechlolo etzal hejit b'milo. As much as you're right, but Shabbos has a leniency even by us. Because there's one time where we get to break Shabbos also, that's by Bris Mila. Right? You're really not allowed to cut and take out blood. But there's a special verse coming to say you should. So you see that there's a leniency even by us. So we're on Hey Amud Beis, about 4 lines up from the bottom. So the Gemara says, Atu Mila Tzarech Hedyetu, Mila Mitzvahi. It's not correct to say that Mila basically is something that anybody could do. Mila is really associated with a mitzvah. So you need to prove something that is, so to speak, voluntary. Tzarech Hedyet would mean something that's voluntary versus the Beis HaMikdash. Mila is not voluntary. As much as I could do it not in the Beis HaMikdash, I'm commanded to do it, so it's not a voluntary action. Okay, so Elamal Shabbos came mitzvasa bekach. So if you want to get rid of this question from Shabbos, you'll get rid of it by saying by Shabbos also the Torah commanded in the Beis HaMikdash they should bring karbanos, and that's why there's a difference between us at home, we're not allowed to shecht, but at the Beis HaMikdash they could shecht. Again, that shouldn't prove anything regarding our conversation of if I can't eat a treifa at home, then the Gemara is suggesting for sure I can't eat a treifa in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, Rav Abba Bar Abba Omer Mishum De'ika Lemer Kelayim Tochiach. So again, one more time, what we're looking for is something which I can't do at home, which they could do in the Beis HaMikdash. We want a leniency in the Beis HaMikdash. Why do we want that? Because the Gemara was saying, why do you need a verse to say you can't bring an animal that's a treifa as a karbon? For sure you can. If you can't eat it at home, for sure you can't bring it as a karbon. So if I want to argue in that, I have to prove there's some case that I can't do it at home, but I could do it there. If I could prove there is a case where there's a leniency in the Beis HaMikdash, so then you wouldn't be able to know treifa just using kal v'chomer. That would explain why the Torah had to write a pasuk to tell you that it's true. So the Gemara is saying another suggestion of something which I can't do, but they could do with the Beis HaMikdash. Kelayim tochiach. Kelayim, which is the prohibition of mixing certain things together. Shasur lehedyit. That if I buy a suit, I have to make sure it doesn't have kelayim. But umutarim legavoa. Some of the clothes of the Kohen Gadol specifically has kelayim. It has wool and linen together. So you see, there's a leniency in the Beis HaMikdash. Mar says that doesn't. Mar asks, "Mala kelayim shekin hutra michlal l'netzal hedyit petzitzis." Even me in Baltimore, I have a case I could also wear kelayim, because by tzitzis, you're actually allowed to mix wool and linen. So you can't say that I can't do it and they could do it. I have a case I also could do it by tzitzis. It's not correct to say mitzvah is something that's voluntary. Mitzvah is something which is obligatory. If a person's wearing a garment with four corners, you're obligated to go put on tzitzis. So therefore, you need to prove to me something which is voluntary here, and I can't do, and the Beis HaMikdash they could do. So if you want to argue, you'll argue and say, kelayim's not a proof of something I can't do, and the Beis HaMikdash they could do. Because again, kelayim is something that the Torah says the Kohen Gadol's clothes have to be of kelayim. We're trying to say, if the Torah wouldn't say you have to, would you be allowed to do it? The Torah doesn't say you have to bring a treifa as a karbon, so would you be allowed to volunteer to bring a treifa? Okay, we're at the top of Vava Maralef. Rav Shisha b'rei d'Rav Yidi Amar Mishum d'Ika l'meimer lihadr dina v'teisi b'me'atza. Okay, so he's suggesting maybe the Torah said you're going to ask a different question, and therefore it had to come right an explicit pasuk that you can't bring a treifa. So mala malika shken kedushas osrasa. We tried to prove it wrong from malika, which is killing the bird with your fingernail, that I can't do it, and the Beis HaMikdash could. And the Gemara asked, maybe that's different because it's hektish. So chaylev adam yochichu. Well, I'll prove that wrong, because when it comes to eating chaylev and dam, the blood, so I can't do it, and it is brought on the Beis HaMikdash. That's not because it became hektish. So your question that you asked from Malika, basically I can prove it wrong. So ma'alu chaylev adam shekein boyim mechlal heter. And if you just tried to prove it wrong from chaylev adam, that there's something I can't do and the Beis HaMikdash could do, so you'll ask and say, well, in the broader perspective, the chaylev adam is part of a bigger animal which I could eat. Well, I'll prove that wrong from Malika tochiach. Malika, I can't kill the whole bird, and they could kill the whole bird. So what the Gemara is saying is, two of the questions which we had before, if you put them together, so then it'll come out with one good question. It'll come out if you put Malika and Chaylev Adam together. So together I have one case which I can't do something, Beis HaMikdash could do something. And either question which you would have asked on each one by itself, well, if I put both together, they'll basically prove your question wrong. So v'chazer adin lo rizeki rizeh. So that's what the Gemara is speaking out. So basically the question you had on this one is not like that one. Lo rizeki rizeh. So atzara shava shebehen, the common denominator between those two cases, shasurin lehedyut umutarin legavoa, that both are forbidden for me to do at home, and it's more lenient than the Beis HaMikdash. So af ani avi treifa. So I would also be able to say by a treifa, Even though I can't eat a treif at home, maybe it's more lenient and I could bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. So maybe that's the question which the Torah needed to come to say, no, even though with Kal V'chomer you wouldn't been able to learn it out, there's a pasuk to say you can't bring a treif as a karmah. Or it says that's also not a good question, because by both of those two cases, again, it's the same question we said before, that the Torah is saying explicitly by those two that you have to do it in the Beis HaMikdash. You have to do Malika, and you have to put the Chelev Bedam in the Mizbeah. That's not a proof to Treifa, where the Torah didn't say you have to bring a Treifa as a carbon. We're trying to say, can you volunteer to bring a Treifa as a carbon? So Elam Ravashi Mishum Deikol Meirim Mikar Dina Pircha. So Ravashi suggests a different question. Mehechi Kamaisis Law, where were you trying to learn out Treifa from? Yibalmum. You were saying, just like a Balmum which I could eat, and they, in the Beis HaMikdash, they can't bring it. So a treifa, which I can't eat, for sure I can't bring it as a carbon. So maybe that's a mistake. Mala balmum shekein asa b'makriven kekraven. By balmum, where you're trying to learn from, there's an added stringency which should make it you can't learn it out. Because not only can the animal not have a blemish, but even the kohen who has a blemish, it's also a problem. And by treifa, we know that's not true. We know that if the Kohen would be a treifa, that's not a problem. So basically what you're trying to learn from, the whole beginning Yalfusa, the whole thing you're trying to learn from is flawed. Because you're trying to learn from a case which is basically too stringent. We know there's a difference between treifa and balmum already. So Amalei Ravacha Sabla Ravashi Yotzi Dofen Yochiach. Well, I can prove that wrong from Yotzi Dofen. Yotzi Dofen is Caesarean section, thank you. Over there we know that it's not a problem. A Kohen who was from a C-section, he's allowed to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. And you're allowed to eat the animal at home, and you're not allowed to bring it as a carbon. So basically the question you were just asking, maybe Balmum's different because there's another stringency. Well, I see from here that doesn't make a difference. So Mali Yotzi Dofen Shkeneinu Kiddush B'Bechora. If you just tried to prove from there, so I'll say maybe Yotzi Dofen's different because an animal which is from a cesarean section is not Kiddush B'Bechora, right? A person who's born from that type of thing doesn't have the halachas of being a Bechor, the firstborn. So maybe that's an extra stringency which won't allow you to learn from there. So Gemara says, well, Balmum yochiach. Well, Balmum would prove that wrong. Because why? Because by Balmum, even though somebody who's born with a blemish does have the halachas of being a Bukhar. So Mala Balmum shkein asa b'makriven kekraven. If you just tried to learn from Balmum, so I'll say maybe that's too stringent because even the Kohen can't be a Balmum. It's not just the animals, even the Kohen. So Yotzi Dofen Yochiach, well, Yotzi Dofen will prove that question wrong. So V'chazer Adin Lo Rizeki Rizeh V'lo Rizeki Rizeh. So basically, each question which you had on the two will cancel each other out. Hatzad HaShava Shebehen Shemutarim Lehejit V'asurim L'gavoa. The common denominator between those two is it's something which is allowed for a hedjit, and it's prohibited for the Beis HaMikdash. The kol shekein treifa shasur lehedjit yasur legavoa. So basically, again, what we're holding now is the Gemara suggested a question on the Kal V'chomer, which would answer why the Torah came to write a pasuk. But we basically answered that question by saying, don't just learn from Balmum, learn from a combination of a blemish and a yotzi dofen. And if you put the two together, then you won't have a good question, which takes us back to the Gemara's question of why did the Torah write an extra verse? Okay, so this is a little hard, but if we just pick up here, we're basically holding at the same place we were holding yesterday at 5:50. Okay, we're holding by the point. We're still bothered by the same question of why did the Torah write an extra verse? Just, there will be a conclusion. Okay, why are we holding back? Why did the Torah write an extra verse to say that an animal, which is a treifa, you can't bring as a carbon? I should know it even without a verse, using the system of kal v'chomer. Now, like Gemara suggests, you'll learn from a combination of yotzei dofen plus a balmum. Okay, so the question is, why did the Torah have to write the extra verse? I should know it even without the Torah writing the extra verse. We're in Vav and Aleph, about halfway down the page. First word of the line is Ligavoa. So the Gemara says, Ma'ala tzad ha-shava shebehen shekem l'hutra michlolam. Maybe you can't learn from there, because both of those are not hutra michlolam. Hutra michlolam means something which is normally prohibited, there's a leniency that it's allowed. Tomer b'treifa shehutra michlolam. Treif has a certain leniency that even though normally it's prohibited, sometimes it's allowed. So what's that case? Amrle Rav Acha b'rei d'Rav d'Ravel Rav Ashi treifa shehutra michlola mahi. What's the case of a treifa which is normally prohibited that one time is more lenient? Ilema malika de olas ha'ov. If it's the fact that when you do malika on a bird, that basically, as you're doing malika, it really became a treifa in the process. It became deadly ill in the process. Legavoa. And still you're allowed to bring it in the mizbeah. So you have a case where something technically is a treifa. It is sickly ill, and still you're allowed to bring it as a carbon. So there's a leniency by treifa. So balmum, nami ba'ofos ishtari yeshturye. You're trying to contrast a balmum, something with a blemish, and a treifa. If that's the case by treifa, I can find the same thing by balmum. Because by birds, it's okay if an animal has a blemish. Because we know, itamus v'zachris b'behema, you need to have a complete animal when it comes to bringing a behema, an animal on the mizbeach, v'ein tamus v'zachris b'ofus. But there's no such requirement when it comes to birds. So what's the case that there's a contrast, that there's a leniency by a treifa, that there's not a leniency by a bird? I'm sorry, that there's not a leniency by a blemish. If it's a case of birds, I can find it by both. So Ela Malika Dachatas Of Le Kohanim. Gemara says, no, what would be the case? The fact that you can do Malika on a Chatos, and the Kohen can eat it. So you never find that a Kohen can eat something that has a blemish that's brought as a carbon. You do find that a Kohen can eat. The Kohen can eat a case where something is a treifa, so that's a leniency, even though normally a treifa you can't eat, we have a case that a Kohen could eat it. Mar says, Kohanim Mishulchan Gavoa Kazachu. That doesn't prove it, because as much as the Kohanim are eating it, they're really getting it from, basically their whole rights to it is because they're representing the Beis HaMikdash, representing Hashem. And once you look at them as like the Beis HaMikdash, so then Rashi says you can find the same leniency even by a balmum. So basically you never contrasted a treifa with a balmum, because you can still have a case where there's a leniency by both. So Ela Parachachi, Ma'ala Tzadah Shevahem Shekein Mumma Nikr. So maybe you can't learn it out from those two, because by balmum, it's obvious. If you see an animal with a blemish, you can see it. By Yotzei Dofen, so Rashi says that it's going to be very well known that it had a C-section. Tomer b'treifa shekein ein mumma nikr. Maybe by treifa it's different, because treifa is just an internal illness and nobody knows about it. So maybe you can't learn out from there. Mishum hachi itzchrich kra. Okay, so if the one thing we take out is this last line. Why at the end of the day did the Torah write a pasuk to say that you can't bring a treif as a carbon? Why wouldn't I have been able to learn it out even without a pasuk? The answer is, if you were trying to learn it from balmum and yotzei dofen, that you have cases which are prohibited, which are allowed for us and prohibited for the Beis HaMikdash. So for sure a treif, which I can't eat, the Beis HaMikdash could eat. The answer is that's not a good kal v'chomer. Because why not? You can't learn from those two. Because by those two, there's something, their problem is nicker. Right? By Balmum, it's physically nicker. It's recognizable. By Yotzei Dofen, something with a C-section, it's going to be well known. By Treifa, where nobody knows about it, I would have thought it's different. So therefore, the Torah came to say an extra pasuk, you can't bring it as a carbon. Okay. That was the conclusion. Okay. Okay, we're in Vav Amud Aleph, about 10 lines before the Mishnah. Betreifa mihacha nafka. So now Gemara asks a new question. Is this the source that you can't bring an animal that's a treifa? Mihasam nafka. We learn it from a different source. Mimashki Yisrael min amosir li Yisrael. That you need to bring something which is allowed for Jews to eat. And we really have a third pasuk that seems to teach the same thing. Yikol asher yavar tachas hashevet nafka. Anything which can go under the stick. It's talking about a different parasha of Meiser Behema. But the Gemara understands from there also, it's a third verse coming to say you can't bring a treif as an animal. So either Torah write three verses coming to say the same thing. I'm sorry. Prat l'treifa sheino veras, to the exclusion of a treifa that the Torah doesn't consider it, that it went under because it's gonna die so soon. So tzrichi. You need, the Torah had to write all three psukim. Dimi mashki Yisrael. It was just a pasuk which says that you can only bring a carbon, which is something you can eat. Hava mina lamuti hecha d'lahaisa l'shasa kosher domi da'ar l'vakilei akera. I would have thought it's excluding something which you were never allowed to eat. Avalhaisa l'shasa kosher, it's an animal which was totally kosher and later became a treifa. So ima tis kasher. So maybe that's okay. Maybe it's only a problem if it was always no good. But if it became no good later, maybe you could bring it as a karban. Therefore, the Torah wrote an extra verse. If it just wrote that, I would have thought maybe it's only a problem when before you gave it to the Beis HaMikdash, it already was a treifa. Just like by Meiser. If you were makdish it, and then it got its sickness, the beidna the akta shavachazio, at the time you were makdish it, you gave it to the Beis HaMikdash, it was fit to be brought as a carbon. So ematz kasher, maybe it would be more lenient because at the time it was given to the Beis HaMikdash, it was okay. So kasarachman min abakar, the Torah came to say another verse that even if when it was given to the Beis HaMikdash it was okay, you still can't bring it. Tzrichi. Okay, so that takes us to the next Mishnah, the bottom of Vav Amud Aleph. Echad minchas chotei ve'echad kol ha'menachos shekamtzan zar. So it's a little bit of a funny line. Whether it's a mincha of a chotei, the mincha which a person who did an aveira brings, whether it's any other mincha. Okay, so the obvious question is, once you said all minchas, so why did you also say the first line? So the Gemara is going to get to that. Shekamtzan. So if, who did the kmita, who took it out, a zar, somebody who's not a kohen, an onain, somebody whose relative died and they haven't yet buried him, a tzvul yom, somebody who went to the mikvah already and he's waiting for the end of the day for his status to change, mechusar begadim, a kohen who's not wearing all of his clothes, mechusar kippurim, somebody who didn't yet bring his karbanos for his atonement, shalarachad yalda viraglov, a kohen who didn't wash his hands or legs, an Aril, somebody who didn't have a bris milah, a Tameh, somebody impure, Yoshev, somebody sitting, an Omid, somebody standing, Agabi Kalib, Agabi Behema, he's standing on utensils, he's standing on an animal, Agabi Ragli Chaveiro, standing on his friend's feet, basically his feet are not on the floor, puzzle. All those are no good. Okay, next case, Kamatz B'smol, puzzle. If you did the Kamitza with your left hand, it's no good. So you'll put it back in, and then you'll do it with your right hand. So the Gemara is going to explain exactly what their machlokas is. If you got in your hand a rock, or gargar melach, or some salt, or courage halavon, or some frankincense, puzzle. That if you take something extra when you're doing the kmitza, or you don't have everything, it's no good. What case is that you have something extra? Shekamtza mevuritz. Let's say when you take it out, like it's so thick that your fingers can't even get to your palm. You took so much of the stuff. The chaser shekamtza birashe etzba osav. And too little would basically be the opposite, that it does not even covering the surface of your hand. It's just a tiny little bit. Okay, so the Gemara on the bottom of Vav Amud Aleph says, Lama li lemisni echad minchas chotei ve'echad kol ha'menachos. The question we spoke out. Why did the Mishnah say whether a minchas chote and all menachas? Listen, kol ha-menachas. Just say, any mincha. Shekam tanzar va'oni. It sounded like the Mishnah was saying there's something specific by the Mincha V'chote that should be different. My answer is L'Rib Shimon Itzrich. The reason the Mishnah said it is because of Rib Shimon. The Tanya Amar Rib Shimon, we learned Rib Shimon said, B'dinhu Shetei Minchas Chote Tu'una Shemun Levona. Really, it should be that a person who did an Aveira should have to bring the oil and the frankincense with his Mincha. Shelo Yechote Nisker. He shouldn't be better than other people bringing a mincha just because he did a sin. So why did the Torah say, basically, don't bring it, which is going to save him money? Because it's coming as an atonement for doing an aveira, the Torah wanted that it shouldn't be as nice as other minchas. It should specifically be worse. When a person brings a chatas, he should really have to do the libations with it. Shelo yechot nisker. For the same reason that he shouldn't save money because he did a sin. Why the Torah say you don't need to bring it? Same thing. That the carbon which is being brought because of an aveira, the Torah wanted it to be not as nice as a normal carbon. So because Reb Shimon said that, Reb Shimon ki kamti lapsulim namitis kasher, because Reb Shimon said some of the halachas change, because it's being brought for an aveira, we want it to be less nice. So I would thought, so even if the wrong people do the kmitza, maybe that's also okay. Even though normally good people need to do it, a kohen needs to do it. But maybe if a non-kohen does it, it would be okay, because the Torah wants this karban to be less nice. So Kamash Mil and the Mishnah said, no. Whether it's a minchas chote, meaning coming to say, don't think the minchas chote should be different than any other mincha. That's why the Mishnah made a special point of minchas chote. Gemara says, "Ihachi, if you're right, hasam nami lisni." So then, in Zvachim, we have a very similar Mishnah, and it should have said, "Echad minchas chelev, echad kol hazvachim, shekiblu daman zar ve'onei." Then, basically, where we're talking about shechting, we're talking about the kabbalas adam, accepting the blood. So over there, the Mishnah didn't make the same point of all karbanos and the karban of achatas. If the whole point is that because Reb Shimon said, basically, we lower the standards when it's being brought for a sin, so I would have thought it would be okay if a czar, a non-good person, did it. So then, as much as the Mishnah in Menachos did it, so we should have it should be the same type, same model in Zvachim. The Mishnah should say not only a normal carbon, but even a carbon which is being brought for an aveira is okay. But lema, we would explain the Reb Shimon Itzrich. But it didn't do that over there. So Alma came at the tana lekol, v'lokatani chutz kul humashma. Basically, you see, I can prove from that Mishnah that your answer is wrong, because it's the same type of model, and it didn't say that extra line over there. So Hanami came at the tana kol, v'lokatani chutz kul humashma. So I'll ask over here, just by saying kol, you wouldn't have thought that the mincha of person doing an aveira would be any different. So we're back to the question of why did our Mishnah say that first line? It said all minachos, which somebody, a czar or non-kohen, did it is a problem. Not only that, even the mincha, which is being brought for an aveira. So the question is, why was the Mishnah saying even the mincha that's being brought for an aveira? Why would I have thought that should be any different than any other mincha? Okay, so Vavim would base about 10 lines down. Itzrich. Salka daita chamina. Holvo kim de la reisha de lo krip shimin. Because the Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Menachos, the Gemara said it's not like Rip Shimon. So say fanami de lo krip shimin. Okay, so we're learning the Gemara, so we've seen, it seems like it was a long time away. But if you put the two Mishnahs together, there's a Mishnah dav beis and a Mishnah dav vav. So they come right after each other. Right? If you open up a Mishnayis, they're right after each other. So since when you read the first Mishnah, it's not like Rip Shimon, so you go right into the next line, you would have thought we're still not talking in Rip Shimon. So the Gemara, so therefore the Tana went out of his way to say we're still going in Rip Shimon. Say for now we look at Rip Shimon, Kamash Malon, that we are still going in Rip Shimon. So you shouldn't get confused that this Mishnah is not according to everyone. The Tana went out of his way to say it is going according to everybody. Okay, so we're up to Amar Rav. Amarav zar shekamat yachser. So in the Mishnah we had a machlokas, what would happen if somebody did a kmitza with his left hand? So the Tanakhama said it's pasul, it's no good. Then Beseir said, we'll just put it back in and then do it the right way with your right hand. So Rav says if a zar, a non-Kohen, does it, yachser, you could put it back in. So the Gemara asks, v'anan pasul tanan. But the first opinion in the Mishnah said it's no good. So he says, no, my pasul ach yachser. Maybe he just meant it's no good until you put it down, until you put it back in and redo it. So yihachi haina ben Beseir. That sounds like the second opinion who said if you do it, put it back in. So Rav said, so the Gemara suggests, Ida Isa lekomets be'ene, if when you took it out, it's still here, it's still in your hand, lo pligi rabbanan alei de ben Beseir, then everyone would agree, put it back in and redo it. Ki pligi de chaser komets. When's the machlokas? If the guy took it out with his left hand, and now he dropped it on the floor, let's say, it's not all here. Rabbanan savri lo yavi mitoch beisov yimaleno. Rabbanan say it's no good. You're not allowed to just refill it up and do it again. Ben Beseir savri yavi mitoch beisov yimaleno. Ben Beseir says you could just refill up the mincha and you'll do it again. Gemara asks if that's true. Ihachi ben Beseir omar yachzir v'yachzir v'yikmutz b'yamin. If Ben Beseir's words were put it back and take it out, do the kmitza the right way. If you're right, he really should have said, Ben Beseir Omar Yachzir, V'yavi mitoch beiso, put it back in, and go fill it back up, V'yimalenu, V'yachzir V'yikbetz B'yamimi Bailei. In other words, in his word, he never described, go refill it up, so it sounds like the case he's talking about is when it's still in your hand. So if that's true, then that means the argument in the Mishnah is in a case where it's still in your hand. The first opinion said, if you took it out with your left hand, it's no good, nothing to do. And the second opinion was lenient to say put it back in and then take it out. But basically we're proving wrong. We're not talking about a case where you took it out and then the stuff's not here anymore. Because you see from Ben Beseir's words, that's not what it sounds like. So we're back to the question of what is Rav coming to say? Again, the Mishnah, the case was somebody did it with their left hand. Rav says a zar, a non-Kohen who does it, is a problem. I'm sorry, you can put it back in. So what is Rav coming to teach? The Gemara asked, it doesn't sound like the first opinion. So, ki kama Rav leben Beseir. Gemara says, no, Rav's really going like the second opinion. So the second opinion said, if you take it out with your left hand, you could put it back in and redo it. Says Rav, if a non-Kohen did it, you could also put it back in and redo it. Gemara asks, Pshita, why would I have thought there's a difference between doing it with your left hand and doing it, and if a non-Kohen did it, both are no good. And once you tell me one, you're allowed to redo, why would I have thought, if a non-Kohen does it, you also can't redo it? Mahu de tema ad kan lo kamachshir ben Beseir ela b'smol. You would have thought, maybe ben Beseir only said it was okay when you did it with your left hand. Aval b'sh'ar psulim lo. But if there was other problems, maybe it's not okay. He would agree that it's the whole thing's no good. Kamash malon. Rav's coming to teach you that even by the other psulim, even if a zar did it, a non-Kohen, it's still okay. So the Gemara asks, Maishna smol, why would you have think that the left hand is more lenient than the other things? Because basically, normally you can't do avoda with your left hand. We found a case on Yom Kippur where you're supposed to do it with your left hand. So there's a leniency in avoda, there's a leniency of left hands. So therefore, I would have thought maybe it's more lenient if you do the kmitza with your left hand. I mean, you're not supposed to. You're supposed to do it with your right hand. But since somewhere else I found a leniency if you do something with your left hand, so maybe that's when Ben Beseir said, if you do it with your left hand, you could redo it. But if a czar would do it, so then the Gemara right now is saying, we have no precedent of a czar who do something in avoda that it's okay. And that's why I would have thought it's different. Rav's coming to tell you, even by other psulim, even if a non-Kohen did a kmitza, it's still okay. Gemara says, czar nami ashkacham lo hechsheir b'shchita. You're suggesting you never find a time that a czar is allowed to do something in Beis HaMikdash? He's allowed to shecht. So there's a leniency by a czar also. So Gemara says, shchita lav avoda hi. Shchita is not an avoda. The Shita explains what that means is that you can only call something an avoda if normally the Torah cares about a Kohen doing it, and sometimes it allows a non-Kohen, something which every Jew in the world could do, so that by definition is not an avoda. If there's no rules about who could do it, so then it's not an avoda. So ask the Gemara, v'lo, is it really not an avoda? We found a case where a zar can't do a shchita. By what? By paradum of Amarav Allah Eloza Bechuka Ksivba. It says Bechuka Ksivba, which means that's the explanation of why it's no good, why it's psula, why it's ma'akif. So what the Gemara is asking is, you sounded like Shchita is not an avoda. Why did you say Shchita is not an avoda? Because you never find that the Torah cares who does it. Gemara says, I found the case where the Torah cares who does it. And therefore, the fact that I can go bring my carbon for a normal carbon is a leniency of a zar. Is a leniency that even though I can't do certain shchitas in the Beis HaMikdash, this shchita I could do. So there's a leniency by a zar also. So just like you said, by a left hand, we find a leniency. So there's also a leniency by a zar. Where it says, no, shiny par of the kachay bedek abayisi. You can't prove it from there. That's kachay bedek abayis. Basically, by the Beis HaMikdash, there's two types of ownership. One's kachim is beyach, which basically means the Beis HaMikdash owns that item. Right? If you're makdish a behema, if you give an animal for a karban, so the Beis HaMikdash owns that animal. That animal is going to be brought in the mizbeach. Kachim bedek abayis means they own the monetary value in the item. So they'll sell it and they'll use the money for something in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara is saying that paraduma is paid for the money of kachim bedek abayis. So basically the Gemara is suggesting that's a different category. You need to prove to me in the realm of kachim mizbeach, which where the Beis HaMikdash actually owns the item itself. So it's closer to avoda in a sense, because they own the items itself. Prove to me there that there's a leniency by zar. Gemara says, "Well, of kol shekeinu, is it not a kol dekein? Kachay bedek abayis, even kachay bedek abayis, which is less avoda, still by kahuna, and still a kohen's required." So kachim is beyach, where they even own those items themselves. Lo bai kahuna, would it not be logical that you should require a kohen? And still the Torah says that a zar who does it is okay. So I really did find, as much as you're right, paraduma is bedek habayis, but it should be a kol shekein. If even by bedek habayis, which is less avoda, still a kohen is needed, so then kachim is beyach, which the Beis HaMikdash even owns those items themselves, for sure a kohen should be needed, and still the halacha is that I can shecht my own animal. So just like you found a leniency by the left hand, you find a leniency by the shechita also. So Amar Rav Shisha b'Reid Rav Idi Midi Dehava Amaros Negoyim Delav Avoda Ninhu Bai Kahuna. Just because you made a mistake, just because something needs a kohen, doesn't prove it's an avoda. Because we find by Maros Negoyim, which is if a person would have tzara'as, a certain thing on him, so the kohen goes to check him out. So that for sure you're not going to classify as avoda. It's done in the guy's house. It has nothing to do really with the Beis HaMikdash. And still requires kahuna. So just the fact that a kohen is needed doesn't prove that something's classified in the category of avoda. So to summarize, where we're holding is Rav, in the Mishnah we had a machlokes, if you do the kmitza with your left hand, what's the din? What's the halacha? The first opinion said it's no good. The second opinion said, well, put it back in and then do it with your right hand. So Rav got up and said that if a non-Kohen does it, it's okay. Put it back in and redo it, and the Kohen should do it. So the Gemara came out that he's really talking in a second opinion. Second opinion is said if you do it with your left hand, you could put it back in. Rav's coming to say not only that, but even if a non-Kohen does it, you could put it back in. So the question we're dealing with is, what did Rav think he was coming to teach us? Why would I think just if I could do it with my left hand, which is no good, I'm allowed to put it back in? So then it should be obvious if a non-Kohen does it, he could also put it back in. If Rav's coming to say something, it sounds like you could have said, just because you do it with your left hand wouldn't prove that if a non-Kohen did it, you could put it back in. So what is it, what leniency do you find by left hand somewhere else that Rav felt he was coming to teach you a new halacha that said that not only left hand you could put it back in, but even a non-Kohen could put it back in? Okay, so Vav Amud Beis, about halfway through the page. First word on the line is kahuna. So the Gemara says, v'nilaf mi bama. Well, you can learn from bama. Basically, you found by bama. Bama is basically certain times in Jewish history where they didn't have a Beis HaMikdash or didn't have a Mishkan, but a person was actually allowed to bring a karbon anywhere he wanted. So by a bama, a czar, anybody could really do the process there. So you find a leniency by a czar also. Where it says, Chitema mi bama lo yalfinan, you'll say, you're not allowed to learn from bama. Vatanya minai lo yotze shim ala lo yerid. How do you know if an animal went out of the boundaries, the kloim, Rashi says, it means the certain fences it's not allowed to leave. How do you know if it went out and then you put it on the mizbeach lo yerid, that once it's on the mizbeach you should leave it there? Share yotze kasher bebama. The Rashi says, I'll prove it from the fact by a bama it's okay, and a bama is by definition outside the boundaries of the Beis HaMikdash. It's in the person's backyard. So you see that the Tana was willing to learn from bama, because he used that as a proof. Gemara says that's not a proof. Tana azos taras ha'ola samech lei. Really, the Braisa learned it from the pasuk, and it was bringing a place that you find it is like by a bama, that you find something which is brought outside is okay. Okay, so right now we're holding. Okay, so right now we just answered why Rav had to come and say something. Okay, because basically we found a leniency by a left hand on the avoda on Yom Kippur. So therefore, I would have thought if you do the kmitza with your left hand, that's when Ben Becerra said you could put it back in. But when it comes to a czar, the Gemara came out, we never find a leniency of a czar. Because, right, we said by shchita, that's not classified as an avoda. So in the world of avoda, you never find something that normally is not okay that a czar could do it. Normally, a czar can't do something that, in a specific case, he could do it. And that's why Rav was coming to teach you, not only did Ben Becerra say, with your left hand, you could put it back in, but even a non-Kohen could put it back in. Ask the Gemara, Latayim Adashmin and Rav. The only reason I know it is because Rav said it, Halav Hachi Hava Mina Bishar Psul and Pasul Ben Becerra. If not for Rav, what I really have thought that Ben Becerra only said it by the left hand, but if a czar would do it, it would be a problem. Vatanya, but I already learned in a braisa. Reb Yosi, Reb Yehuda, Reb Elozer, Reb Shimon, Omrim, Machshir Hayeh Ben Becerra, B'kol HaPsulim Kulan. They said explicitly that Ben Becerra says it's okay by every problem. Basically, people before Rav already said what Rav said. What's Rav coming to teach me? Not only with your left hand's okay, but even a czar who does it is okay. I already know that from this braisa. They said it explicitly. V'tanya v'kamat v'sham. And we learned in another braisa, you should do the kmitza there. Mimakam shiragle azar omdus. This is really a different halacha, coming to say you're allowed to do the kmitza in the entire azar, entire certain room in the Beis HaMikdash. And why the Gemara is bringing is for the next line. Ben b'seiru omer minayin shib kamatz b'smol shiachzer v'yachzer v'yachmetz b'yamin. How do you know do the kmita with your left hand, you could put it back in and do it with your right hand. Talmalomer v'kamatz misham. The Torah says you should be komates from there. Mimokam shekamatz kvar. It has the mashmos. He understands the pasuk saying, even though you already did a kmita, you can do another kmita. The cave and the crust stomach siv. And because the verse just said it in a very vague way, the place you did a kmita, you can do another kmita. Mali smol, mali sharpzula. Why would I have the right to say the verse is only talking with your left hand? The verse didn't say any difference, so it would sound like any time you did a kmitza, which was incorrect, so just put it back and do it again. So two questions. As much as we figured out why there's a difference between a left hand and a czar, and therefore Rav was coming to teach me something new, but still the Gemara is asking, I still knew it from a different source before Rav. So what did Rav think he was coming to teach me? So the Gemara says, Alaha kamashmal and Rav. So Rav's chiddush was, kamatz vafilu kiddush. That Ben Becerra said it's okay, not only when you took it out, but even if you even went to the next step. That you took that which you took out, you took that which you took out with your hand incorrectly, and you put it in the kli next to it, which is the next step in the process. So even though you're two steps removed, Ben Becerra still said it's okay. lafuke mehani tanoi. He's coming to exclude the following tanoim: the Tanya Reb Yosi ben Yosi ben Yosi and Reb Yehuda Hanachtum Amru. So Reb Yosi, the son of Yosi, and Reb Yehuda Hanachtum said, "Bamedvar Mamurim." They said, "When did Ben Beseira say it's okay? That's Shekamat Velokidesh. That's only if you took it out and didn't yet put it into the kli. Avokidesh pasal. But if you already put it into the kli, it's a problem." So Rav's coming to tell you, no. He thinks Ben Beseira holds, even if you got to the next step, it's still okay. Ikadamri, a different version. Kamat in kidesh lo. Maybe Rav is really coming to say the other way, that Ben Beseira's only is limited to a case where you didn't yet put it in. Keman. Kehani tanoi. He's coming to say, like these opinions, that they're limiting Ben Beseira, that it's only if you didn't yet put it into the kli. Lafuke mitanakama. He's coming to exclude the tanakama. Basically, we already have a braisa. One opinion said Ben Beseira said, even if you put it into the next kli, it's still okay. One said only if you didn't put it in. The two versions of the Gemara is, which one is Rav coming to tell you? Is Rav coming to tell you the halachas, like the opinion, even if you put it in, it's okay? Or maybe the opposite. Rav specifically coming to say, it's only okay because you didn't get to the next step of putting it in. But if you put it in, Ben Beseira would agree that it's not okay. Okay, we'll hold over here. Yeah.